So today's the third, show number 30 in our series, I think. And it's the third part of King David and the Beit HaMikdash. I want to wrap things up this week. Last week, we sort of smack in the middle of our big topic. I want to go back and review my opening question and then the title, and then we'll get to the source sheet. Ask almost anybody why David and Melech can't build the Beit HaMikdash, and you hear everyone say the same answer. Just someone remind me. What's the classic answer why David can't build the Beit HaMikdash?
He's got blood on his
many
hand.
People.
Yeah, Nikki, go ahead, Nikki.
He's got blood on his hand.
Okay, that's what almost everyone says. In fact, almost everyone knows it from the time they were born almost. Remember? No one remembers. Everyone knows that. But yeah, Lee, what do you want to add? Lee, you wanted to say something? I guess not. Okay. Okay, that was something else. Okay. That's the classic answer everybody gives. And I want to refer to it. I call it what's called a psul gavra in the yeshiva world, meaning there's something wrong with David himself because David killed people. He can't build the Beit HaMikdash. And because the Beit HaMikdash is about life, living, someone who commits murder can't build the temple, almost like the law that a Kohen, a priest, who committed murder can't do Birkat Kohanim. And very much like the law of the Mizbeach, that no metal is allowed on the Mizbeach because metal is used to kill people. Those are all classic Pirushim. The problem is, who's supposed to build the Beit HaMikdash? Shlomo, correct? If you remember the Haftar from Parshat Chayesara, or no, Parshat Vayechi, I think, from Parshat Vayechi, what was Shlomo's final will, what was David HaMelech's final will and testament to Shlomo?
Kill all kinds of people.
he gave him a hit list, almost like a mafia list, of people to kill. So how could it be that if the whole reason David can't build the Beit HaMikdash is because he has blood on his hands, and then David commands Shlomo to build the Beit HaMikdash, and God tells Shlomo, David, that Shlomo can build it, his son can build it at least, how could it be that David is giving Shlomo a hit list before he dies to enable him to build the Beit HaMikdash? So that we're going to try and solve that problem today. I think we're in the middle of it, but now I'll try to do it organized today. I'll start with my review, and then you'll tell me when it's not review anymore. Okay, let me share my source sheet, and we'll get to work. Okay, so today's class number 30, part 3 in our series, and we can close study between King David and Jerusalem, and the famous question why God rejects David's request to build the temple. Okay, now, we explained earlier that chapters 5 through 8 form a unit in Shmuel Bet. And Shmuel Bet begins with David becoming king over all of Israel, moving his capital from Hebron to Yerushalayim. And then David captures Ir David and takes over the Mitzudah, calls it Ir David. Next week, maybe in a week or two, we'll go back and talk about how he conquers Yerushalayim. And then we're told, Vayelech David, Halach v'gadol. This is going to be important for our share. David becomes more and more famous. Hashem was with him. Vayishlach Hiram, and he has peace with Hiram. We mentioned that the first, this was a review still, we mentioned that the first time in Jewish history since Yeshua that a foreign power is looking to make a positive relationship with Am Yisrael, with the Jewish nation. You know, Yeshua, the only people who wanted to make a treaty with us were the Givonim, who pretended to be from far away. But other than that, all through Sefer Yeshua and all through Sefer Shoftim, we find many other nations, but there are enemies, and we're at war with them. No one ever wants to make peace with us. For the first time, someone wants to not only make peace with us, but work in unison with us, in cooperation. We have that with Lebanon, with David, and later we'll have it with Shlomo in Egypt, and we'll see during the time of Shlomo, everyone around the whole Middle East is interested in cooperation with Shlomo and wants to work together with him. Now, because things start going good, Ve'ida David ki'echino Hashem le'melech ha'Yisrael, he realized that God wants him to become king. Remember, he's always doubting. Is he really the chosen one? Does God really want him? Because it's been so many years since he's been anointed. And why? Because his kingdom is uplifted now for the sake of his people, for God's people of Israel. Okay. Now, and then in chapter 6, he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim with the famous story. We saw also in Divrei Yamim a little bit. And then, after the Aron is Yerushalayim, he sets up the Levim with a choir in Yerushalayim. David's sitting secure in his house. And Hashem gave him rest from all enemies around. And last week we talked about Sefer Devarim, that phrase, Vayabaniach Hashem Elokecha Misaviv. When God gives you rest from all enemies around, then it's time to build HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. And then the king told Natan, who's his liaison to God, Re'eh, understand, I'm now in a palace, a Beit HaRazim. Remember, it's a palace with a long beams to make a long roof, to make a palatial building. But God's Aron is still in a tent. It doesn't make sense that I should be in a permanent house and God's house should be temporary. And therefore, obviously, he wants to make a permanent house for God. And Natan, who also learned Sefer Devarim, it's such an easy question. He doesn't even have to ask God. He can paskin on his own and says, Natan says, do as you think is right. God's with you. Remember? Now, where have we had a phrase like that earlier in relation to the kingdom where God tells the king, if God's with you, then do what you think is right. Anyone remember we had that? I want to show you, it's fundamental to becoming king and what it means that when God's with you. Remember I told you David's taking his pulse all the time. I'll make it easy. Who was the first king?
Saul.
Shmuel, right? I mean, Shaul, I'm sorry, Shaul. And what were the signs? Remember the signs that Shaul to become king? We'll go back real fast to chapter 10. We'll go to chapter 10 and make sure it's open. There's my Tanakh. It was supposed to be open. Here, 1 Samuel. If we go back to chapter 10, here we go. In Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel takes the Pach HaShemen and anoints Shaul. And he gives him, remember the three signs we talked about? One with Kevah Rachel, one with going to Bethel, etc. And then he says, Vayaki Tavona Hotot Eile. When all these signs come true, we have these signs, the God's with you. Asay lecha et asher timsa yadecha ki Elohim imach. Do what you feel is right because God's with you. See the idea? If God's with you, then do as you think is right. Then we have the one exception with the first battle by Gilgal. But all the signs come true. But this line, once God's with you, that's a sign. Do what you think is right. God will be with you, and we'll see. God has to be with you, and the people have to be with you, and that's a prerequisite. Now, who else earlier in Chumash, way earlier in Chumash, had a phrase about if God is with me? Versus Shmuel tells Shaul, because God will be with you, do what you think is right. And who makes a condition about God being with him? Anyone remember? Yeah, Nikki?
Yaakov.
Yeah.
Yaakov.
Where?
The Sulam, you know.
Yeah. But it's exactly his neder. Remember his neder where he wants to build a Beit Elohim?
Yeah.
How does it begin?
Yeah.
Let me just take a quick look as long as I have the Chumash open. It's going to be Bereishit chapter 28, verse 20. Remember? Im ye Elohim imadi. And we've got to be with me, take care of me. Then, and I'll come back one piece. Vayasham li lelokim. Okay? Then this Evan, this marker that I put down, that'll be the site where he's going to build. He makes a resolution to build a house for God. Remember, we talked about Yaakov is never able to fulfill this matter to build a house for God. Because when he comes back, he wanted to, but the situation is not ideal because the other nations don't like him because of the story of Shimon and Levi and Shechem and the brothers selling Yosef. We go down to Egypt, and in Yaakov's life, he can never build a house for God. We get moving in the time of Yeshua, but again, things are far from ideal. We don't finish conquering the land, and the enemies still like us. I mean, the other nations don't like us. The first time in Jewish history since Yaakov Avinu made this neder that other nations look up to us is David HaMelech. And Natan understands that. Natan was an Arshir. And he tells David, because he knows Sefer Devarim, he knows Bereishit, he knows the background. He says, of course, this is the right time to build. And that's pretty much where we got to last week, if I'm not mistaken. And now we're going to see God's answer to David back on our source sheet. Okay. That what happened that night? Remember again, Natan told the king, do as you feel because Hashem is with you. Okay. That night, Natan gets a nevuah. Some Parshanim want to stay maybe later, other events. I'll keep the simple reading. The same night after Natan said yes, God had to come and tell Natan, not so fast. Okay. And God spoke to Natan saying, go tell David, Lech Varta Adi El David. Remember? This is nothing negative. Tell him, being called Eved Hashem, if Hashem calls David Avdi, that's praiseworthy. So, Ko Amar Hashem Hateti Debayit Nishifti. It's written, is it written with an exclamation point or with a question mark? That's a good question. But are we reading, are you the one to build a house for me to dwell? Or are you going to be the one to build a house for me to dwell? We have to keep on reading. But in God's answer, God says, there was no one up until now that I asked to build a house for me, and I've been fine with a Ohel Mishkan. Now, I would take a break for a minute. Give me a logical reason, at least a theoretical reason, why someone might consider the idea that God never wants a permanent house. The Mishkan, a portable Mishkan is ideal. Did we discuss that a little bit or not? No, go ahead. Ruth, I see you're smiling. Yeah?
Yeah, my favorite topic.
Okay. Okay. So give a short version. No, Ruth, explain to us why isn't, what's so good about a Mishkan being portable and not being permanent?
Right. If it's mobile, it moves around the country. Everybody has, let's say, the opportunity to have it in their shevet. Mm-hmm. So it's a, you know, it's a equal opportunity Mishkan. It's always somewhere else all the time. Everybody feels close. Everybody feels the shachanti betocham. Everybody gets that feeling. It was made that way. It's the way it should be.
Now, I'll give you something similar. Did we ever follow the shoftim, their order, or not? The shofet, God was always with the shofet. So, which tribes had a shofet? If you remember Sefer Shoftim, Otniel ben Kenaz is from Yehuda. Ehud ben Gera, Binyamin. Just follow the geography. We're going from south to north. I could show a map, but you know the map of Israel. Okay? So I have Otniel ben Kenaz from, I said, Yehuda. Ehud, Binyamin. Who's after Ehud? Devorah is from Ephraim.
North.
Ephraim, with Barak from Naphtali, okay? Then we have Gidon from Menashe, correct? And then we get stuck with Abimelech, right? And then we have a bunch of one-liners afterwards. But basically we get Yiftach from the Gilad, Yiftach HaGiladi. And then we have someone from Zulun, from Beit Lechem HaGlili, which is Asher. And then we go back to, we had Asher and we had Yisachar. So I'm told I've been pulled from Yisachar. Basically, other than Shimon, Reuven, and Gad. Reuven and Gad are on the wrong side of the Jordan. Shimon got swallowed up with Yehuda. But other than them, every tribe gets a shofet, right? And God is with the shofet. And it seems like the Aaron, we'll read in a minute, it seems like the Aaron went with the shofet. So what Ruth is saying pretty much follows what's happening in Sefer Shoftim. Everyone got a thing. Even Shevet Dan got a break, didn't they? Small. Remember Shimshon? And then from Shimshon, it went to where? Leadership went to Eli. That's the Kohanim. He had a Mishkan. And then to Shmuel, Shevet Levi. We made full cycle, didn't we? Around the tribes. It ultimately ends up with David. And the question is going to bounce back to Yerovam, to Ephraim. That's Sefer Melachim already. But I could give another reason. Is that the fact that the Aron always, remember all the Kelim, they have, what's it called? To put the Badim. What do they call those things?
The poles?
No, the pole. What do you put the poles in?
The sockets? The rings?
The rings, yeah. Okay. I didn't know what it's called in English. Okay. You put the rings to put the poles in. Only for travel. The Aron, remember? Always has the poles in it. Right? What's that mean? Nothing is permanent. Now, nothing is permanent. God's Shekhinah can always pick up and move. It's a way of telling you, don't be so sure of yourselves. You always have to be worthy. And don't rest on your laurels. And I could give a nice, if there was no law in the future to have a permanent temple, I could give a nice shirkali of why it's ideal to have a Mishkan, on the move all the time. It's a way of saying, you know, don't be so sure, especially if you've learned Parshat Ki Tisa. You know, so you have to be worthy of God's Shekhinah, you have to work for it, etc. The problem is in Sefer Dvarim, it seems like God recognizes that, but hopefully we'll reach a time period of Menucha v'Nachala when we settle down and we're secure. The analogy I want to give is like a startup company and as opposed to going public. I'll give you a better analogy. Rav Lichtenstein, Alav Shalom, used to give when he was on the Sichot Friday night about the Mishkan. He said, there's times in a person's life when they're young, okay? You know, they get married, they're in Kollel, they go to college, they go to, what do you call it? The first job here and there. There's, they're always moving, like from caravan to caravan or from, you know, renting here, renting there. Sooner they're going to settle down and build a permanent house that they own and build it. And that'll be their, Admea Vesrim. So he said, he compared Jewish history, the Mishkan is like, in a very, almost like a honeymoon type relationship where it's portable and temporary, but there's something very intimate about it. But only as a beginning stage, we have to grow up and become permanent and start a home and spread out. In a similar manner, when we're a startup nation and we have to build ourselves and our own identity and all the nations hate us, so we need a reminder of our connection to God. We're not ready yet to go public. When do we go from Mishkan to Mikdash? Right? When do we go from a portable structure to a permanent structure? We always need something portable to remember our connection to God, our need to be connected to God, that we're God's people and we have responsibility. But when can we go public and show other nations we represent God? Only when we're permanent, when we have political stability and we're religiously sound and we're making a name for God, which makes a lot of sense. And therefore, Sefer Dvarim, which talks about laws of a nation representing God, and the idea is that that other nations will look up to you. The whole theme of Baruch Kometzki Shem Hashem Nikra Elecha, the ultimate goal of a Jewish nation having an impact on other nations. That's the Mishkan being permanent will reflect that ideal. And therefore, Sefer Dvarim talks about when the time is right, when you reach Menucha v'Nachala, rest and security, and your borders are full, and everyone's settled down properly, and we're keeping the Torah properly, then you can build something permanent. David's right that up until now, that we haven't seen that permanence. Now, what's happening? David thinks we've reached level 10. If, assuming levels 1 to 10 is the scale, he thinks he's reached level 10. And what I want to explain is that God's going to say, you're right, no one even reached level 8 before, but you've reached level 9, but not level 10. I'll show you that now in the Psukim. So now we're going to continue on our source sheet. And in light of that, I want to understand God's answer to David through Natan. Listen what God tells Natan to tell David. Okay? Go tell David, because Kilo Yashavti. Second. Okay, 1 second. I lost my thing. Okay. Kilo Yashavti Babayit. Ever since I took you out of Egypt, I've never been in a house. From the time I took you out of Israel, out of Egypt to this day, I've always been going in Ohel Mishkan, like we said, in a tent or in a tabernacle. Now, this pasuk is alluding to the Shoftim, isn't it? B'cho asher italachti b'cho b'nei Yisrael, hadavar dibarti achad shiftei Yisrael, asher tziviti lorot tamid, Yisrael lemor, lama lo b'nitam b'et Rezim. Now, what's it mean God went in all the tribes of Israel? And in the same pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, instead of shiftei, it says shoftei Yisrael, which is probably a more logical girsav. It's the same idea, though, because every shevet had a shofet. But did I ever ask any of the Shoftim, and I went from Shofet to Shofet, did I ever ask them, how come you didn't build for me a house for God? A Beit HaRazim, a permanent house? David, go to David. What makes you different than the others? Go to David. I brought you up from the minor leagues. You were a shepherd, and now you're a leader of my people. And basically he's going to tell David, you're right. You're better than the people before you, but not enough yet. Okay? See, remember? He says, indeed, I've been with you. Everywhere you went. I helped you against all your enemies. I gave you a great name. Now, who was promised a great name earlier in Chumash? Anyone remember? Where's the first time we had a great name?
Abraham.
Remember, Beschel Goy Gadol, right in the beginning of Lechacha, isn't it?
Abraham.
Remember? Vagalash Shemecha, I'll make your name great. But that's a prerequisite to make God's name great. It's not, the goal isn't Avram's name being great. The goal is not that we're great. The goal is that we need to be great as a tool to fulfill our goal of making God's name great. So if other nations don't look up to you, you can't deliver a message to other nations about God. But a prerequisite to be in a position to sanctify God's name in the eyes of other nations, you have to be a great nation to sanctify God's name. So again, the Navi's explaining here, God telling the Navi to tell David, you're in the right direction and your name is great and you're getting there. And now there's also stability. Remember to see the word makom? Remember in Yaakov's dream, Vaikaba makom, the word makom, makom ha-mizbeach by Abraham, making a name for Vaikra b'shem Hashem. I think it's intentional, the word makom. He says, I put a place for my nation of Israel. And I planted them. B'shachan taktav, now they're dwelling in the land, God's dwelling with them. And we're hoping things won't go bad again. We finally settle down. And evil people won't come to afflict us again like it was during the time of the Shoftim. And now, it seems like God also is relating to Sefer Dvarim. Ulumin hayom asher tziviti shoftim alam Yisrael, ever since I had shoftim, ever since the end of Sefer Yeshua, v'anichoti lecha mikol yevecha. I gave you rest from all your enemies, better than anymore. And here's God's answer finally. V'gid lecha Hashem ki bayit yaseh lecha Hashem. Which is amazing. God's telling you, I'm going to build you a house. At first glance, remember, this made no sense because David says, I'm in a house. I want to build a house for you. And God tells David, in order for you to build a house for me, I have to build a house for you, meaning a dynasty, a monarchy with a dynasty. And therefore, the prerequisite of building a Mikdash is not just you becoming king, but a succession of power. It's a sign of stability. If one of the tests of any government system is of stability, is how we transfer power from one leader to the next. That's always a test of democracies. And even in monarchies, the good thing about a monarchy is that it leaves the fighting within the family as opposed to within the country. Instead of tribes fighting, at least it's only brothers fighting. But the idea is that God's saying, in order to be permanent enough, to be stable enough to enable building a Mikdash, you have to have a son who's going to take over for you. And now that's what he explains in the next pasuk. Ki malu yamecha, after your days are over, time for you to die. I established your children after you, your offspring. I'll help his kingdom be prepared. Then who yivne bayit lishmi? He can build a house for my name. And that could be, remember the word alam of the father, that could be eternal. So basically, in God's answer here in Sefer Shmuel, there's not a drop of blood, agreed? No word about David doing anything wrong. David's getting tons of praise, isn't he? But there's nothing negative about David. He's simply telling David, level 9, not level 10. And more than anyone before you. God's telling David, you're in the right direction, but not enough. A little more patience. He's not saying no, he's saying not yet. And it's not a psalm David. It's not because David did something wrong. His time period is not ready yet. We need a little more stability. And therefore, you can, but your son can, and that's kibayit yaseh lecha Hashem. Okay. I'll be like a father to him, and he'll be like a son to me. I think we mentioned this last week, and we saw the Tehillim Ayin Peitet. We're saying this. In other words, I'll be like a son to him, a father. In other words, our relationship will be an eternal one, but when you do something wrong, boy, you're going to get punished. It's same like with God, with Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem and Sefer Dvarim. We're like children to God. Sometimes our relationship with God is like a parent-child relationship. Sometimes it's like a master-servant relationship. And Kabbalah and Sfat, you'd say, it's a Chatan Kalab relationship, if you understand the Chododi. Now but he's saying, in my relationship with your dynasty, so you're chosen forever, like a parent-child relationship, but the second you go off, I have to punish you right away. I'm going to punish you more harshly. Why? Because of this special relationship. On the other hand, the chesed here is my chesed in the context of a brit. Many times the word chesed comes in the context of a covenant. So my chesed with you, looking over you, I won't take away from you like I took away from Shaul. In other words, your kingdom would be eternal, but boy, am I going to punish you when things go bad. And therefore, the Neman Bitcham Amtad Olam, Neman here means being stable or supported. It's like, what's going to keep God's presence in house stable, like the word Amen, means supported and permanent. So your kingdom will be forever, okay? And but what's being emphasized over again is the word Olam. Remember the idea of a Brit Olam, the eternal nature of God picking Malchut David to be the dynasty family of Israel. And that's what we talked about last week. That was the main focus of last week's share that we saw in Yirmiyahu, that God's choice of Malchut David to be the eternal kingdom is similar to God's choice of, and hence Yerushalayim, is like God's choice of Am Yisrael and God's choice of the Kohanim and Levim, even though people might think there's logic to change it if they misbehave, saying, just like there's logic of God dumping the Jewish people if we misbehave, and just like there's logic of God dumping the Kohanim if we misbehave, and same thing with the royal family, that's what Yirmiyahu is saying. No, the relationship is that of a parent-child relationship. It's Olam, it's eternal. But, and that needs to be, because I need that type of stability. On the other hand, because you're chosen forever, I'm holding you to a much higher standard. I expect more from you. Therefore, don't be surprised you get punished. As soon as you go off the derech just a little bit, I have to keep you in check all the time. And therefore, we saw in Yirmiyahu last week, the comparison between God's choice of the Jewish people, his choice of the Kohanim, Shevet Levi, and his choice of Malchut David, and Yirmiyahu put them together, just like God's brief with creation, that he's not going to start over again, he promised after the flood. Okay, then. That was God's word to David. And listen to David's response. David said, oh, Gavad, I'm so sorry. He's not sad. He's exuberant, isn't he? He's what do you call it? He wasn't expecting such a good answer. He's not saying, oh, I lost. No, he said, no, this is great. And we're going to see, David's going to spend the rest of his life building the Beit HaMikdash, getting it ready for Shlomo. That was the sort of title. Did I put that? I'm sure, I think I put it in the title. Why God says, yeah. Why David Melech can't build the Mikdash, but he does. You see the title? He builds it. He doesn't put it together. David's going to build the Beit HaMikdash. Wait, Ruth, you have a question?
Yeah. What about the, now it's a floating around in my head. Is it state befavorish, or is it just a thing floating around that Shlomo just ignored all the stuff that David had piled up?
Yeah, that's a pasuk in Melachim.
Okay, there you go.
Shlomo should have built it the second he took kingdom, it was all ready to build. Shlomo puts it all in Geniza and spent 7 years building a much bigger one. He's got his own architect, you know, he's a new CEO. You know, call a kavod to the founder of the company, but I'll build it my way. He's got his own architect.
A bad sign. A bad sign.
It means well, like everything with Shlomo, but there's a logic to it. Ever, no good deed goes unpunished. What's David say? I think anyone knows where you have Ad Halom in modern Israeli history in the War of Independence? There's Gesher Ad Halom. In the War of Independence, the Egyptian army was moving up the coast, and they got up to Ashdod, and there was a last-minute defense, and they, for some miraculous way, then we got those airplanes with Ezra Weizman. They threw a couple of seltzer bottles down, and they got scared, and they turned around. That was called Gesher Ad Halom. So that's if you know your Israeli history, that's a classic thing. Okay. But they got the word from here. Ad Halom. And every Israeli kid's bar mitzvah speech, they thank their parents, say, Heviyoti Ad Halom. If you're ever in Israel and hear a bar mitzvah speech, you'll almost never hear without them saying, no, thank you for bringing me up to this point. Ad Halom is an idiom in Hebrew now. Okay, now. Then he's very modest. He says, you know, I'm a nobody. You know, and how'd you tell me from you know, such a great thing? And then, my Yosef, old David, old Deber, what can I say? And you know your servant. Remember Hashem, he calls him Adon again. Hashem Elohim, just like Avram did by Brit Ben Abtarim. Thank you for all this greatness you've given me. He's thanking God profusely for this promise. Okay? Alkein gadalta Hashem Elohim, ki ein kamocha ve'ein Elohim zulatecha, b'chol asher shamanu basneinu. We know this from davening, right? When we take out this Sefer Torah, ein kamocha Hashem Elohim, no, Where's that from? That from In Kamocha Vein Zulutecha Malchut Chabachum. So before taking us to Torah, I think on Shabbat we quote these psukim, something similar. Okay, and this is famous. Umikam Chayisol Goyechad Baaretz Asher Cholim Diftot Bo La'am L'Sum Lo Shem. See the idea of God's name and reputation again. L'Sot L'Cha Gdula V'Not L'Tzecha V'Neim Chas Shepetit L'Cha Mitzayim Goyim Belog. David understands why Am Yisrael is chosen to make a name for God, L'Sum Lo Shem. The reason God does miracles is, in other words, there's a goal in God watching our history. The goal is not that God takes care of us. The goal is that God takes care of us and makes us great so we can make his name great. And when we only pray to God that we should be great, but don't realize that our greatness is simply a tool and a vehicle which enables us to make God's name great, when that's not understood, God doesn't help us much anymore. In other words, if you want God to help you, you have to know what to do with greatness when God blesses you with you. And therefore, t'chonen l'cham chayisrael l'cha la'am, remember, he'll be your nation ad olam, v'ata Hashem ha'ita lahem l'alohim. Right. That's Brit Milah, isn't it? That's Brit Sinai. That's the fourth cup. Okay. And, now, if you remember our earlier shiurim, when the people asked for a king, and Shmuel said no, and God said yes, remember? We talked about that earlier in Shmuel Aleph. And when they anoint Shaul the second time, and he's accepted, and then Shmuel brings the rain, and the people say, "Oh, we made a mistake." And then God says, "Don't worry. God wants a king." If you remember what they said there, go back to Sefer Shmuel a little bit. If I go back to Sefer Shmuel, chapter 12, we had the exact same phrase when the people say, "We maybe it was a mistake." Remember, v'yimu kolam el Shmuel, he palel bad avadecha, pray for your servant, okay? Ki asafnu mikol chateinu ra lishol v'amenat, maybe it was a mistake to ask for a king. And Shmuel says, don't worry, you had all the wrong intentions, etc. But what? Ki lo yitosh Hashem et amo v'avor Shmuel ha-gadol. God won't abandon his people forever because of God's great name. Ki ho'el Hashem lasot etchem lo'olam. God wants you to be his nation so you can make his name great. So that's the underlying reason. Why does God want a king? And if I'm looking for, we talk about it a lot, all the positive reasons for having a king all began in that final coronation of Shaul, where God's explaining why, what's the positive side of a king? It has a lot of danger, but there's great potential good. This, and almost in the parallel to the danger of God picking a nation, because they might misunderstand why they're chosen, but the great potential, if a nation understands its purpose, there's great potential what a nation can do if it understands its purpose in serving God. And great danger if it misuses that purpose. Okay, now let's go back to, we have to get to the blood that everyone talks about. Okay, and then he prays, Vatashem Elokim, Hadavar Shedibat Avadach, Vabito. He prays that God fulfill it, Adolam again, Siren. And then finally, what's the goal? Vayidal Shimcha Adolam. David's praying and saying thank you, then he prays that God's name should become great forever, then more. Hashem Svot Elohim Al Yisrael. Hashem, everyone's God. Remember that's from creation, seventh day of creation. B'chot Tzva'am. It was Hashem Svot, the God of all creation, God of all nations. Okay? He's the God who watches over Israel. U'beit Abdecha David, Yeh Nechon Lefanecha. We're ready, prepared to serve you. And just like you make the nation of Israel great, you'll make David's name great so that we can serve you as a people. And therefore, David ties together his being chosen with Am Yisrael being chosen. You told me, "Bait evnelach." That's God's answer. That's David's famous tefillah. That his goal of being chosen will be fulfilled. And then this is also David. Again forever. See the idea bracha and forever, just like going back to Avraham Avinu. Now, in Divrei Yamim, we're going to run out of time, so take my word for it. If you read chapter 17 in Divrei Yamim, it's identical, almost word for word, tiny little changes, Shoftim instead of Shvatim, which means it's not a machloket between authors. Okay? It's not in Divrei Yamim, it says, it's not that Divrei Yamim says it's David's fault because he had blood on his hands, and Shmuel says, a different reason. No, It's the same reason. God says, not you, but your son. And David gives the same answer. It's an identical parrot. It's not a machloket between books. The idea of blood on his hands is something that David says to his son Shlomo, which we're going to read now. Now, in a nutshell, we're not going to go through all the Avraamim. Now, we did a little bit before when we talked about David bringing Avraham back. But the main difference we're going to see is the way David tells these events over to Shlomo. In other words, the way David explains to Shlomo why he couldn't build the temple and why Shlomo should, that's when we get the idea of blood on his hands. We'll have to explain why in a minute. And in chapter 22, we're going to see, I'm sorry, I meant to say here chapter 21. Our answer will be in chapter 22. In chapter 21, this should be, David's punished for counting the people, remember? And he's going to pray to God in Givon. And on his way, the Malach stops him, and the threshing floor of Arab the Jebusite. Well, that story in detail to understand the geography of Israel and where David is compared to Har Abayit. But in a nutshell, in light of God answering David's tefillah to stop the plague, that's we saw this briefly. Then what's David say? After God answered him, "Vayomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem Elohim, b'zeh mizbach l'olah l'Yisrael." After God answered David's prayer and stopped the plague. Remember, Vayomer David al God Salam Yod, he gave him the choice of three options. And he took the choice of a direct plague from God instead of 3 or 7 years of famine or 3 months of losing to your enemy. He took the immediate punishment. And when God answered his prayer, David decided this is a place to build a house for God, because my point was, HaMakom HaShiv Char Hashem, the place that God chose to answer prayer. And the Shechma, we have to look for a place, and but we pick a place where God already showed he identifies with. And we talked about that in our first class about David, about whether it was chosen from creation, the Midrashic approach, or was it chosen because of David's efforts. And we try to explain how they both can really, they appear to be contradictory, but they can work together. Okay? And this would be the place to build the Mizbeach for Am Yisrael. Okay. Now we're going to read the version in Divrei Yamim. After David decides, towards the end of his life, after counting all the people, and mistakenly, and being punished for it, and a guy answering his prayer to stop the plague, and David taking responsibility, David now decides to get ready to build the temple. Pasuk Bet in Divrei Yamim, chapter 22. And here we're going to find the whole theme of blood on his hands. We have to understand the context. V'yemer David, lichnos et hagerim asher be'eretz Yisrael, v'yamid chotzvim lachsov avnei gazit, no bayit l'elohim. The first thing David does, not much has changed in Jewish history, I need to do a big construction project. We get foreign workers or local people who are good at with rock, with not carving. What's it called? Postel. What's it called in English? Not a sculpture. A rock. What do you call the guy who chisels the rocks?
Masons.
What? A mason?
Yeah. Stone
okay. Mason. Stone mason. Okay, good. Or Barzel the Rove. I just always think the Flintstones. Or Barzel the Rove. We have all the material. There are all the things to connect it for the doors and for the to connect everything together, and lots of copper, as much as they need, or brass, whatever nechoshet is in English, as much as they needed. Lots of cedar wood for big roofs, etc. Okay, and the tzidunim from Lebanon, from Sidon, they brought, and from Sor, they brought atzei rozim, they brought cedar wood to David. Okay, now comes the answer. Before I continue the main part, let me just make sure I didn't miss anything in the chat. Chat. Oh my God, a couple of chats real quick. 2 minute chat. Okay. Okay. That's easy. It's Hamer La'aretz. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Hamer La'aretz. Very good. And Gershon asks, are David's words ad halom in allusion to Jacob's letter? Cute. Okay. Gershon's suggesting that maybe when David says ad halom, it didn't say ad halom by Jacob's letter, but Jacob's letter is reaching heaven, but doesn't really read it. Beit El was exchangeable for Yerushalayim as Beit Halom Daram is fourth Halom. Okay, it could be. It's a little more midrashic, but there's something there. Okay, let's go back now and let's get to David's answer to, off the chat, close the chat. And David's answer to Shlomo. I mean, now, here's the context that's important. David is going to charge now Shlomo to build a house for God. His life dream can't be fulfilled. He wants his son to do it. Now, Vayomer David Shlomo b'ni. Navarach. My young son, Chazal, when he's like 16 at the time, it fits the chronology nicely. Babayit libnot Lashem lagdil lamala Lashem ulitifer v'chol artzot achina nalo ve'echen David l'rov lifnei moto. That most people aren't aware of, and that was our title. David gets almost the entire house of God ready, almost like a Lego set, ready, so that as soon as Shlomo is king, he can build it right away. And this house to build for God is for what purpose? To make God's name great. Remember the Shem in Tiferet, that's from the end of Sefer Devarim, Masorim L'Chododi, the Shem U'Tiferet U'Tila. That's the goal of the book, of the book of Devarim. But that's the inclusion of Sefer Devarim, which focuses on HaMakom HaShiv Kar Hashem, the Shekin Shmo Sham. Now, and David get everything ready. Vayikra l'Shlomo b'no, vayitzaveh libno bayit l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He commands, charges Shlomo in public, we'll see, to build a house for God. Now, what would the son ask? Right? If it's so important, why don't you build it? So David has to explain to his son why he should and why he didn't. He better give a good reason, because it doesn't look right. If it's so important to you, why didn't you build it? Remember David, Shlomo, Bini. Ani hayem levavi d'mabayit l'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Notice again, always for God's name, for his reputation. I really wanted to. Vayelai dvar Hashem lemor. Dam l'rov shafachta. That's where everyone's quoting, right? You spilled a lot of blood. On the other hand, nechamok d'lot asit. That's where we went red and green. That sounds negative, but that sounds positive. Lotiv d'abayit l'shmi. Again, why? Ki damim rabim shafachta arzo l'fanai. What I want to claim is that, notice the word, shvichu damim goes back to Breshit. Remember, shofech dam adam. It's from the Noachet laws. What I want to claim is, it's not David the person, but David the time period. And I'll just quote Shlomo in Kohelet, right? Eit mechama veit shalom. There's time for war and time for peace. What is David's big worry? And this is my, what I want to explain what's going on here. David is worried that his son is going to be, want to be like his father, too much like his father. David is great in two ways. David was great in his connection to God, wanting to build a house for God and bringing the Aron. David was also great because he was a man of war with great conquests. David conquered all of Syria, if you remember, defeated all the Plishtim, secured all the borders of Israel. He was known as a man of war. Now, what is he worried about? Shlomo is a young, he's a teenager. He's going to want to be a bigger general than David. To become famous, what will Shlomo have to do? He'll have to take all the national resources and build a bigger army. Right? And do more conquests and conquer, you know, the whole Middle East from maybe from I would say from the now to the Euphrates. He's worried that maybe Shlomo is going to be a man of war and focus his kingdom on military growth and more expansion. And God, David is telling Shlomo, there's a time for war and a time for peace. He's saying, my generation was called generalship. It was a generation of war, wars that had to be fought. Because we had an existential threat on our society because of the Plishtim. They were trying to take over our country. We finished that. Now we have, there's no longer an existential threat on our country. We're established. Now it's time to focus our resources and our kingdom on making a name for God. And therefore, he says, God told me, Hine dam no ladach. Now where did God tell him this? We'll see very soon. Hine ben no ladach. What I want to claim first is that David is explaining to Shlomo his understanding of why God said no. When God told David, not you, but your son, and you did a lot, but you're not there yet, David understands that the level of stability was not great enough because we're still at a time of war. And put it this way, if you're making a name for God, you can't do it when people hate you. If I take an example from World War II, England and Germany, remember, were fighting, like no one would ever dream they'd ever talk to each other again. Within a generation, maybe they don't have the same monetary, they don't share the euro, but they definitely share trade. They're friendly countries. They're part of NATO together. Meaning that if the purpose of the Mikdash is to go public and make a name for God among the nations, you can't do that a year after you conquered them. You can do it the next generation. It takes a generation sometimes to take nations that were at war with each other to live in peace with each other and appreciate each other. You can't cure those wounds so quickly. You need more time. So David's understanding, my generation was one of war, but you'll have a son, Hine ben no ladacha. Hu ye ish menucha. I want to claim this isn't a prediction. this is direction, like all prophecy. It's not what will be, what can be. He's saying, you have to have a son who needs to be Nishmenucha. Even more than you, he'll have rest from all his enemies around. You had rest at the end of your life, but you were fighting your whole life, other enemies. He'll have peace from the beginning of his kingdom. Ki Shlomo Yeshmo, his name will be Shlomo, and his name will reflect the reality of his time period. V'sholom v'sheket iten ha'yisrael kol yomav. It's not by chance Shlomo was named Shlomo. He's named Shlomo to remind him in his bris what he has to be. Your name, you have to be. In other words, Shlomo's name is not by chance. He has to be a man of Shalom. And if he is an Ish Shalom, not he will be, but he can be, if he fulfills this goal of living in peace with his neighbors, who is that by the Shmi? He can build a name for my name. He'll be like a son to me. I'll be like a father, like I said before. I'll get his kingdom ready forever. Right? God should be with you. Remember, God to be with you like he was with me. And you should be successful. Then you can build a house for God. Don't think it's automatic. On the condition you keep God's mitzvot. If you don't keep his mitzvot, it's not going to work. And therefore, there's always a proviso. There's a clause that you're not, just like God told Yeshua in the beginning. Remember? If you want a matzliach, make sure to keep the Torah. If you know your Sefer Dvarim, remember the speech in Sefer Dvarim? The Chukim Mishpatim the Chukim Mishpatim section of Sefer Dvarim begins with the laws of Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Let me just show you real fast. I hope you remember in the Shurim on Sefer Dvarim, there's the Chukim Mishpatim section. The whole speech is called Chukim Mishpatim, but there's a mitzvah section in Chukim Mishpatim. But if I go back to open up a Chumash to, let's go, not that Chumash, this is Chumash. And we'll go to Sefer Dvarim chapter 12. Now we need Dvarim. In chapter 12. This starts the Chukim Mishpatim section that ends in chapter 26. These are the Mishpatim you keep. When you come in the land, get rid of the places of idol worship. Okay. Get rid of the names of those other gods from the land. Don't do that to your God. Serve him in one place, not many places. The pasuk about Amakom Hashem Yivchar Hashem is the first law in the Chukim Mishpatim section of how to establish a nation, not just people in the service of God, but a nation in the service of God. It begins with the national center. But when do you do it? Only you can't do it right away because you didn't reach Menucha v'Nachala. But Babartam et Yarden, Mishaptam Ba'aretz, we saw this last week. V'neach Hashem b'kol v'echem yisrael v'shaptam betach, then ha'makom asher yivchar Hashem. But I'm trying to show you that in David's speech to Shlomo, he's clearly referring to Sefer Dvarim again, as we mentioned many times. And I'm sorry, I did not share my screen, did I?
Hi.
Well, why don't you tell me that? Sorry about that. Tell me when I don't share my screen. There we go. Okay, now we share. There we go. In chapter 12, Elo Chukim Mishpatim section. Got it? But get rid of the places. Get rid of the name of their names from the place. Don't do that here, God. And then we saw this last week. Don't do this, Ishasher, because you have a kabiyat to benucha v'nachala. But then when you cross the Jordan and you're in the land which God's giving you, v'nech lechem yikov v'chem yisaviv v'shaptem betach, then HaMakom HaShem Yivchar Hashem, Shema Taviu. There's the whole laws of HaMakom HaShem Yivchar Hashem begin with the Chukim Mishpatim section in Sefer Devarim. And therefore, if we go back to what David's telling Shlomo, Az Tatzliach, if you keep the Chukim Mishpatim, which God's commanding you, then Chazak V'Ematz, also from Sefer Devarim, Al Tira V'Al Techad. Okay. Then he says as follows, V'ini Ba'oni Achinoti Levet Hashem. With my meager funds I had, I got everything ready for house for God. I got lots of gold and silver and nechoshet and barzel, all the precious metals we need, and all the wood I need, all the lumber we need. Okay. But imcha l'rov v'osei melacha, I got workers for you, masonaries, craftsmen, everyone you need, kol chacham lev, kol chacham b'chol melacha, v'zav kesav nechoshet barzel, perfect for parshat truma. That's 2 more weeks though. Vayashem imach. Okay. Then, v'itzav David l'chol Yisrael, The Chosarista Lazor Shamo. You see I'm showing how much David is worried about his son going off the derech. Got it? He's commanding everybody, make sure to help him. He's so worried his kid ain't gonna do it. He has what to worry about. Now, Halo Hashem lechem imachem beinyech lechem misaviv again. Kinatan biyadi et kol yishvei haaretz v'nichbasha haaretz lifnei Hashem lifnei amo. V'atan tu levavchem lenafshchem lidrosh l'Hashem elohechem v'shichnot yidushu v'at Hashem. Got it? V'kumu v'nu et mikdash Hashem Elohim l'avi et aron brit Hashem l'klei kodesh Elohim l'bayit hanivne l'shem Hashem. You can't miss the theme of Shem Hashem, all the themes of Sefer Devarim. And now that we have a king and we're stable, we can make a name for God. But I want to end the shir with, I hope that's clear. David is explaining to Shlomo how important it is that to build a house for God, we have to be respected by the other nations. We have to be living in peace with them. We can't be in a state of war. So thinking that a war is going to be the way to build a temple, it's exactly the opposite. If you want to build a temple, it's not by starting a war. It's by putting an end to wars and living in peace with your with other nations. Then there's, you can't go public with this idea of a mikdash. And to make a name for God, you can't, you know, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash until we have this prerequisite of being in a position where we can sanctify God's name in the eyes of the other nations. Now, we can pray that we become that worthy, but the way to do it is by preparing the nation to be worthy of a mikdash, not just by building while we're not ready for it. Now, how can David go and say that God told him, Dam l'rov shafachta, if God didn't tell them that? We saw in Shmuel and in Divrei Hayamim, chapter 17, God didn't say this to David. How could David make this up and say, God told me? I want to claim, we'll see this later when we learn Sefer Shmuel, when Avshalom is running away, when Avshalom takes over and kicks David out of Yerushalayim, David's running away from Yerushalayim. Remember the story? I'll just turn off the share for a minute. David's running away from Yerushalayim, and who's chasing him? Anyone remember?
Alone?
Is that one?
That time?
Yeah. Who is chasing him? I mean, Avshalom's chasing him, but he's going down Rehov Bar Ilan in Yerushalayim, and they're throwing stones at him. Remember? Who's throwing stones at him? Remember? Shimi ben Gera, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see the psukim in a minute. From the house of Sha'ol. And what are people saying? You know what? Magia lecha. Yeah. You getting what you deserve. You kicked Sha'ol. You know, what you did to Sha'ol, you're getting what you did. Listen to any politician today. We know all the lines. Listen. You're getting what you deserve. Now, so listen what happens. We'll pick up that story in Shmuel Bet. It says as follows. Where are we? Chapter 16 in Shmuel Bet. Uba HaMelech David ad Bachurim. I jokingly say it's Rehov Bar Ilan in Yerushalayim, but they throw rocks and Shabbat at the cars. Okay. V'nei misham ish yotzei mishpachat Beit Sha'ol, u'shmo Shimi ben Gera yotzei mekalel. David's living in Yerushalayim, Shimi ben Gera from the house of Sha'ol, they're cursing him. They couldn't call him Nazi yet because it's before the Holocaust, but they're calling him all these bad names. Now, v'asakel b'avanim et David, David, and they're throwing rocks at all of David's men. David's men are leaving the city, and they're throwing rocks at them. Get out of here. Right? Okay. Listen carefully. What did Shimi say? Say Isha Damim Visha Blial. Got it? Get out of here. Because you're a man. You caused all these civil wars. You're to blame for the civil wars between Shaul and David, between Shaul and between Yoav and Avner. And this was called in Himad in Hebrew, Magia Lecha. Heshiva Lecha et kol demei Beit Shaul. God's punish you for all the blood that was spilt from the house of Shaul. Asher melachta tachtav. You took over his kingdom. Remember I told you the whole background to Sefer Shmuel was people were saying David's illegitimate. He was this cool general trying to take over the government, causing instability. And he's like a disaster. The people view him as a disaster. Of course, the book has to fix that. Okay? Then, Baitena Shemet Amlucha Be'ar Avshalom Bincha, Bincha Baratecha, right? God's even came to your own son because of your evilness, right? Ki'ish Damim Ata. Got that? You're a man of blood. So who told David you're a man of blood? Not God, but Shimi Ben Gera. Now, David is taking Musar, we'll see. Now, he's got his right wingers. They don't vote for this. What does Avishai say? Vyamar Avishai ben Surya, Yoav's brother. Elamelech. Lama yikaleh kelev ametas et adonai amelech ebrana basir rusho. A kelev, a member, is a loyal servant, but his master is dead. This nobody. Yeah. Why are you letting this nobody curse you? Let me go over and cut off his head. You follow? Yes. How do you allow, it's not kavod hamalchut. How do you allow this guy to talk this way in a room? You can't allow that. Have a little self-respect, you know, of your kingdom. Let me cut off his neck. Let me kill him. Listen what David tells his right wingers. V'yamar melech, maliv alechem b'nei tzuria. I can't handle you. Okay. Ki kalel, he wants to curse me. Ki Hashem amar lo kalel David. Umi amar madu asita ken. Musak, remember David al vishad al vadav. Hine b'nei ashu yatsa mi mayim vakeshav. Shem eon tzah wants to kill me. Right? Af ki ata ben haimini. Even this guy also wants to think. Henichu lo vei kalel. Ki amar lo Hashem. Got it? Let him curse me because God told him to curse me. In other words, David in his greatness and his humility, he hears God's voice in Shimi. And when Shimi says, and David says so, when Shimi says, Kish Dami Mata, Shimi can be rotten, he can be a political enemy, whatever it is, David hears Musar and he takes responsibility for the civil war. So he didn't want to cause them, but his men did. You obviously head of his general, he has to take responsibility of what the head of his army did. So he says, if I'm hearing from Shimi that you're an Ish Damim, that's not Shimi, that's God talking. And David's taking the mutar. There's Ulay Yireh Hashem Be'inai Ve'shiv Hashem Li Tova Tachet Chetah Yom Hazeh. Maybe God will accept my repentance, right? And see my humility. And maybe in light of that, he'll make me worthy of becoming. I'm not going to take my kingdom back through force. And if I accept that maybe I did something wrong, I have to fix my ways and learn from my mistakes and do better, then maybe I'll be worthy of God bringing me back. But when David says, you're a man in Ish Damim, remember my question? How could David say before to Shlomo that Ish Damim? So what I want to claim is, the lack of stability in the time of David is not only the lack of peace with the other nations around us, it's also the civil war that was going on. If you want to build a house for God, if there's Sinat Achim, if the country is not united, it's not only you need peace with your enemies around you, you need peace internally among the tribes. And David's saying, one of the reasons, David's explaining to Shlomo, one of the reasons why I couldn't build a house for God was not only because of the wars I fought, but because of the civil war during my time period. And if you want to make sure that you can build a house for God, make sure there's no civil war. And make sure there's peace among the tribes as well. Now, who instigated every civil war in the time of David? Who's the instigator of every time there was a civil war? Yoav, right? Every civil war, oh, Yoav and Avner from the beginning, the first civil war by the Brechan Givon, that's Yoav. And of course he's right. Remember how people who start civil wars, they're always right. Remember, there's always good reasons for Simat Chinam. Remember, and then later with Amasa, remember with after Merit of Shalom, this again, with who killed Avner, remember, that was Yoav. Who starts Merit Adoniel? Yoav, right? He's behind it. And therefore, before David dies, he wants to make sure that there won't be civil war. And everyone in the country who's going to cause another civil war, what's David tell Shlomo? I can handle them because I was David, right? You're a little kid. You can't handle them. Don't let them start. Listen. David says, I can handle them. They're under my command. I know how to deal with them. They're going to walk over you. And David's hit list is to make sure there's stability. Got it? Now we understand my opening question? How could David, who can't build the Mikdash because he has blood on his hands, and Shlomo will build it, tell Shlomo, knock these people off? Is that knocking? He said, the goal is not to kill people. The goal is make sure there's not another civil war. Make sure the people who always start up civil wars, if they want to stay home under house arrest, the second they start with their moves, Adonio says, you know, what do you call it? I want to take the Pilegesh, remember? I want to take, what's her name? Abishaga Shunamit. And Yoav starts already, leaves. Put him, and he gives him a hit list. I know these guys. The second I die, they're going to start up. They'll split the kingdom because they're power hungry. And they're sure that they're right. So God tells Shlomo, if you want to build a Beit HaMikdash and have a kingdom, you have to have stability. And these troublemakers, make sure they don't start up. Put them under house arrest. The second they break the house arrest, finish them off. So, and then, therefore, it's no longer a question exactly the answer. That's why David That's why David gives Shlomo in his last will and testament that hit list the people who, not to take vengeance, but to make sure Israel stays united and doesn't fall into another civil war. No connection to anything today, just by chance. Okay. Okay. Now Ruth asks a question. Why didn't David do it himself? He says, David, how can David do anything to Yoav? Come on. Yoav was more loyal to David than David. You know, sometimes you have workers who are so loyal to you, you can't. And you have to learn to live with them. You know, but when someone's so loyal to you, saved your life over and over again, stuck with you in the hardest times, Yoav was loyal to David from day one and protected him, took care of him. How could he do something to Yoav? Again, Yoav is more loyal to David than David. Yoav never wants to take over David. He thinks he's more loyal to David than David is, remember? Remember how he yells at him after marrying Avshalom? David can't touch Yoav. But there's no way, but he tells Shlomo, you have to do it a different way. David can handle Yoav, and he can't, morally, he can't do anything to Yoav. And therefore, but he tells Shlomo, be careful. And therefore, it doesn't kill him right away, but what? But put him under house arrest.
You can't leave a mad dog unleashed like that. He could banish him. There are other things he could do
He put him under house arrest. That's it. That's when he runs away to the Mizbeach. Is he running away midin Melech or midin? No. Is he midin Mordechai or midin? Because he was guilty of murder. That's all sugya. I think, and the Gemara talks about it also in Tanakh when Yoav runs away to the Mizbeach and they take him to the Mizbeach to kill him. Okay, let me just check the chat real fast. And that was the lecture I wanted to do on David. I mean, not more on David, but on David in Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. But I think that story of David commanding Shlomo to build it and why an idea of Ish Damim, that's why the answer in Divrei Hayamim is in sync. It's not a stira. It's not a contradiction between the books. It says, from what perspective, David is talking to a son who's worried about his son's going to become a man of war and won't be able to build the Mikdash because there'll be more strife. And David had to fight wars, but it wasn't his goal. It was a necessary evil that had to be done. And unfortunately, he had work. He had men in the army who couldn't control. But David wants to make sure it won't happen with his son. And that's a prerequisite to build a house for God. So again, David fought great wars, but his time was one of war, not peace. But he wants to make sure Shlomo would be a man of peace, and that's a prerequisite for building Mikdash. Okay, so we'll stop here. Next week, we're taking a break. We have a very good program on coping with, I forget what's coping with something, the stress and things like that.
Trauma and building resilience.
Resilience. Oh, see, I thought you finished all your programs.
I'm back. Here I am.
Okay. I did the last 5 minutes was for you, Jay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that part.
Yes, all right.
Okay. Yes, so now you can do the announcements. I was going to do the announcements for you, but now you can do it.
Thank you. No, I'll let you go ahead. Maybe they're even better than I make them.
No, it's okay.
I make them because nobody else does. Okay, but thank you. Okay, yeah. We'll see Rabbi Litak in 2 weeks, of course. I mean, we'll probably be here next week too, but I'll put the link again in the program, I think, for next week. And all right, thank you. We look forward to learning with you this week, next week, all the time. And please invite a friend. Benny Gesundheit, of course, is going to be on in 40 minutes. Tehillim Mizmorei Shabbat B'Ifrit, continuing to go through them. Always very interesting. So that'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern B'Ifrit. And then tomorrow, of course, Yossi Lindell continuing his fascinating series on Lost Synagogue Classic. Tomorrow is the Birnbaum, Philip Birnbaum and his Sidurim and Machzorim, which I imagine almost everybody here used growing up. No, am I correct? You used the Birnbaum Machzor, and I imagine almost nobody uses it today. Am I correct about that also? Either use the Koran, okay, maybe some still use the Birnbaum. Okay. The Birnbaum, of course, is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and one Machzor. On the today, that's impossible. You know, you gotta, but anyway, so that's be tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Mark Shapiro will finish off on the Würzburger Rav, Rav Zelman Bamberger from Würzburg, Germany, finishing of that series. And then he's going to be off for a couple of weeks and then starting a series on the Musser controversy, the whole history of the Musser controversy in the 19th century of Yerushalayim, the opposition of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and others, etc. That'll be starting in a couple of weeks. And of course, all our regular classes. This week's Parsha Shir is given by Aaron Kohler. Dr. Aaron Kohler of Yeshiva University will be giving the Parsha Shir this week. And okay, and then all our regular Shirim, Malachim, Kohelet, the Siddur, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, look forward to learning with you. Thank you, everybody. And we should hear good news. And like I say, I think next Sunday's program is really a little bit different than learning Tanakh, but maybe not so different as you were saying at the end. But anyways, so everybody be well and have a wonderful day and wonderful weekend. Thank you, Rav Menachem. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, be well. I think, okay. Ciao, ciao, everybody. All right.